Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. But today, maybe not. Today, we're working on your youngin's financial freedom. Yes, your child, your kids, your young adults. There was five young men that all, by the time they're in their 20s, and then eventually in their 30s, were successful real estate investors. So these kids were starting in their 20s. The youngest kid to do an apartment complex was 18 years old, but he had to have his dad do it with him. His dad made him do everything, and the deal he made with him was like, you do all the work, I'll pay the money, and I'll give you 10% of the profit on the deal, but you're going to do all the work. You're going to prove you can actually do this. This is your way of growing up and learning how to be a businessman. We had other kids where they did it on their own. Their parents had been real estate investors previously before, you know, when they were growing up. And by the time they were 20, 21 years old, they'd already bought an apartment complex. One of those gentlemen is now about 35 years old, and he's done 7 or 8 apartment complexes already. A millionaire. He's already been president of the Houston Apartment Association and just a phenomenal individual. We had other guy that had two properties, and he was working on a second property, and he was only 20-something, early 20s. And we had another guy who was in his early 30s that had already done 3 or 4 properties. So you look at this and you go, okay, you know, I retired at 34 years of age, but I was an anomaly. I was in a situation where I had already taken accounting in high school. I had basically operated businesses as my job all through my 20s. I ran health clubs. So I already knew what business was, which was, you know, selling people memberships and then maintaining facilities. So if you think about it, what is an apartment complex or what are owning a rent house? You're buying assets. You're selling contracts to work out there. And an apartment, you're selling contracts to live there. And then after you sell them the contract to live there, work out there, it was your part of the contract is to maintain the facility. So I had done that already for 12 years. It was nothing for me to get into this business. It was almost like I just took one pair of shoes off, put another pair of shoes on. It was that simple for me. But I'd already had all the accounting background. You know, I took accounting in high school, took accounting in college. Business was like my second nature. But when we look at these kids, I saw that these kids, because they had a heads up from their parents that they were doing apartment complexes as their first deals when I was doing single family houses. They had a massive head start on me, 10, 15 years head start, and they're doing it at a very early age. So it really impressed me enough to bring them all up there and for us to study them as a group because these are the new leaders. I also had there a group of the older members that have been around for 30 years, and these people are all retired, multimillionaires that have already finished. And so we kind of had the dichotomy. Here's where you end up if you do this correctly. You end up rich and retired and travel and all the wonderful things. Here's where you start, right? And you get started as a young person. So we had these people up here, and as you look through them and study, one of the first things you notice is that they were just years ahead of kids their age, maturity-wise. Their communication skills were top-notch. They were not afraid to speak in public at all. Not afraid to shake your hand and look you in the eyes and, you know, communicate with you. Not afraid to demand that if they hire somebody to do work, to get it done and demand the work gets done, it gets done correctly. These are not traits of 20-year-old kids. They're just not. But these kids had it. I talked about social traits, collaboration skills, honesty, integrity, communication skills. These are things that you need to teach your kid at a very early age. And you can really start that at any age. I've seen parents who will force their kids that are 3 or 4 years old, go shake Mr. Walmsley's hand. Say, hello, Mr. Walmsley, my name is Bill. They're training them to be socially ready to go. They've got the skill sets necessary to do what they need to do to be successful. And today, I want to take it further, and I want to talk about some financial skill sets you should work with your kids on, because really, somewhere along the line, you need to start blending these into what you do. And so that's where we're going to cover today. So the first one, you can't get anywhere without understanding that the most important thing you've got to learn to do is to put off instantaneous gratification. Kids are in that situation. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. And the I want is never enough. And it's always got to be now. And as soon as I have it, I want something else. This instantaneous gratification disease that is a part of being a kid has got to be neutralized. It's only acerbated by the fact that in America, we are spoiled. We are overly wealthy compared to the rest of the world. And whether you believe it or not, your kids get too much stuff for free without doing anything for it. All of the above parents of the five kids, it was not that they starved their kids out, although one of them pretty much did. What they did was they made them earn things. So the first thing is the concept of understanding that you don't just get stuff. You're not entitled to anything. And so these parents start kids off very early saying, you've got responsibilities around the house, whatever they make them to be. You know, I remember chores, you know, you mow the yard, or you take out the trash, or you start them small, clean your room, pick up your stuff, whatever they are. But when I was young, I had chores. I had things I have to do, and they were just really a way to train kids for responsibilities. You weren't trying to get child labor out of them. You just realize that if they don't learn to take responsibility, you're never going to be successful in this world. And so the first thing we do is we start giving kids responsibilities. Then we tie rewards to those responsibilities. If you do it correctly for X period of time, you get some money or whatever you give them. You know, we'll let you go to this special event or do whatever it is, you know. But there has to be, you know, a connection between responsibility and reward, right? Now, where the parents that were really good on this, they push the next point, and that is just taking responsibility and working and earning some type of a benefit or income in life is not good enough. That you don't just get what you want today. Hey, I want this toy. No, you work for that toy, so it might take you, you know, 10 weeks to earn enough money for that toy. So there's some instantaneous gratification reduction. And then you have to save money to get to that point. So they start them understanding about savings. And you say, well, Del, this is also remedial. Why are you talking about it on the radio? Because it's not remedial. It's what you didn't learn as a kid. Maybe not you, but 90% of the people out there don't learn that you have to be able to put off into the future gratification. And by putting off gratification in the future, it gives you time to do two things. One, build on a greater win at the end, a greater amount of gratification, but also to redirect your desire for that gratification. I've seen times when you take kids and say, look, what do you want? And they say, I want this. Okay, well, we'll start working towards that. You know, take your allowance, do, you know, stay in line with what the plan is, and put your money over here and save it. And once they started saving the money, I'll never forget this. Never forget this. I had my daughter saving money when she was young. And she did what she had her chores to earn the money, and I'd give her the allowance, and she was building up a pretty good little cash fund. And then one day, I remember taking her to Disney World. And she had built up an allowance package of something. She had like $10, $20 or whatever that she could spend, $25. I don't know what it was. And throughout the entire time we were in Disney World, I go, do you want to buy this? No. Do you want to buy that? She had her mind set on this little princess purse. And so she waited. As we were leaving the thing, she didn't spend any of her money. She was holding on to her money because she wanted to buy one nice thing as opposed to a bunch of trinket stuff all along the way, which I thought was growth in and of itself. So she buys this purse, this little princess purse, and we get on the tram to take us this long drive all the way back to where the cars are parked. And we're riding on the tram and everything, and we're tired. It's been a long day. We get out, we get in the car, and start up the car and start driving away. And she goes, Dad, do you have my princess purse? I go, no. I said, what'd you do with it? And she goes, I don't know. You didn't take it? I said, no, I didn't take it. And so lo and behold, what had happened was she figured out she left it on the tram. Tram's gone. We're gone. Purse is gone. And she's crying. And she's just distraught. And there wasn't enough money to, in her allowance to go back and get another one, and I wasn't going to break or lose the moment of her growth. Because I could have stopped the crying by buying her another one, but that wouldn't have taught her anything. Wouldn't have taught her a life lesson. And so she cried almost all the way home, and she didn't have that purse, and her allotted amount of allowance was gone. Now, after that point, I'll tell you this. She stayed on saving. She built back up her funds again. But never again did she waste those funds on trinket things. And whatever she did buy, it was something she really, really wanted, and she held on to it. She, in other words, finally found out the value of things. See, when you as parents buy your kids things, there's no value to it. Yeah, it's fun for a moment. Little instantaneous gratification. Maybe you like it for a week. Maybe you don't. But man, when you make them work for it and they finally realize the value of money, the value of the things money buys, that's a major step for kids. Now, I know that many of you don't even have this idea because I look at you and I see some people, the way they work is they get paid and they go out and spend their money. I had a guy that worked for me this way. He's now a real estate guru. He's still broke as a real estate guru. The bottom line is this. Here's what the guy said to me. He said, look, I can't save money. I said, why not? He said, because every time I save money, something disastrous happens and I have to spend it and I don't get any fun out of it. So what I do is I get paid and I go do the things I want to do and buy the things I want to have. And then I pay my bills with what's left over. And if I'm a little short, I put it on a credit card and, you know, I figure out I'll pick it up next time if there's not any gravely important things I need for my fun, for my enjoyment. But saving money just doesn't do it for me. He goes, I will go have my fun first and then take what's left over. I look at that like people eat their dinner. They eat the sweets and the good tasting stuff first and leave the steak till last or the meat till last or whatever. And they just never get over that habit. So this guy could not save money because the joy was more important than the savings. So what does the average person do? The average person will get paid and then they'll pay their expenses. At least take care of the expenses. Now, whatever's left over, now that's fun money. You still aren't saving anything, but at least you're paying your bills and you don't have bad credit. This guy actually brags on the radio about having had bad credit. Right, not paying his bills, couldn't save money. I mean, he brags about it. And that's childhood abuse from the parents to raise a kid to think that way. So you at least raise your kid to pay your bills before you'll spend your money. But what I taught my kid was that what you do is you get paid, and the first thing you do is you take out your share. And this is in Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's book. It's in Richest Man in Babylon, another great financial book. And all of them talk about the fact you pay yourself first. So when I get paid, the investment money comes out first, and then whatever's left over, you pay your expenses. And then if there's anything left over, then you go have fun. Now, most people say you should save 10% of everything you earn. I'll tell you, I didn't believe that. I actually believe that you should save 50% of everything you earned. And my argument for this, and you have to listen carefully to understand this, is that as a kid, I lived at home. Your kids live at home. They have no bills. I had no bills. And all of a sudden, you have a job and you start making money. You didn't need the money a week ago, and now you have the money. Why can't you afford to save half of the money? And as you save half of the money, and your friends don't, they appear to have more money than you. It seems like you're living poorer than they are. But it's all junk. You still have a house to live in. You still have ways to get around. You still have food. You're not starving. You're not dying. You're just not wasting it on junk and on partying and on fun, etc., early on in the beginning of the game. And so what happened was is that as we went through life, I was saving half everything I earned. They were spending everything they earned. As we got better paying jobs, our income went up. I allowed myself to take 50% of that income, so I allowed my fun money to go up. I allowed my consumption to go up as my income went up. But here's where I lost them. I started investing. And as I started investing, I now was not only making the money we were making with our jobs, but I was making money on the side. And it wasn't very long that each time I made more money, I increased my standard of living, my cost of living, my way of life. They couldn't because they got to the end of their job. That's it. That's as far as they could go in their job. That's how much money they had. And they'd already spent. So what did they do? They started going into debt. See, when you can't increase your income every year like you did your whole early years of your life, you still want more stuff. There's only one way to go, and that's go deep into debt. And that's where my friends lost it. We'll take a short break, come back, and talk about the next step on the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about how do you train your child to grow up to be a business person and to be financially free and eventually retire at an early age if they wish to do so. And, you know, we're comparing that to the people that we saw at the expo, the young kids, five kids had already done apartment complexes, two of which the kids were already retired by 30. Three of the kids had already owned an apartment complex by age 20. It's just unbelievable what kids can do. You just don't realize it, but you didn't train them. Your kids come out of high school, 18 years old, and they have no skill sets at all when it comes to human skill sets, communicational skill sets, financial skill sets. And you're sending them to college thinking somebody else is going to teach them life, but college doesn't teach people the stuff that they need to learn. They just don't. It doesn't. So the bottom line is you got to teach it to them. So I was talking about the fact that as I was growing up and I was saving 50% of everything I earned, and I told this story to my kids all over and over again so they get it. I said, then one day, you know, my friends and I, we got to the point where we both had pretty good jobs. We'd moved up in having, you know, like you go and you get a job as a newspaper guy, then you go get a job working at McDonald's, and then you get to be a shift supervisor, and eventually you can even become like a shift man or a location manager or assistant manager, whatever. But your income at some point stagnates. And these guys that are with me are just spending, living, you know, like, wow, look, we're making a lot more money. I can buy a lot more toys, a bunch more garbage, go out and eat and drink and party and whatever. And I'm not. I'm saving half of what I earn. But I start buying investments. Now, I'm going to tell you a story about when this happened to my daughter and all of the other five kids up there. They had the same thing happen. This is what their parents did. You go out and you take your daughter and you say, look, you saved up. I remember my daughter at 16 years old had $16,000. I go, man, that's pretty amazing. And I said, well, about time you start investing that money better than just being in your, you know, your CDs that you're in right now and earn some big money. She'd been taking classes, you know, even at 16, she'd seen how we did real estate. I said, let's go out and buy a house. I know you don't have enough money to put it all down. It's going to take about 20 grand down. You put up 10, I'll put up 10. And we'll go out there and make $50,000. So we had equity capture of $50,000, and her half was 25, my half was 25. And then we made $500 a month cash flow, and she got 250, and I got 250. And all of a sudden, she goes, are you kidding me? I get $250 a month, and I just made $25,000. I've saved for 16 years or whatever it's been, you know, 10 years, 5 years. To get to 16, I now make 25,000 more. And it just, the light bulb went on. And at that point right there, she knew that she could be a real estate investor and she could be rich and she'd never have to worry about money again. And At that point, she had no desire to go to college. You say, well, that would ruin them. No, it doesn't. They end up rich as can be. In fact, all five of these kids who had, you know, already done these apartment complexes, four of them went back to college after they made their first $100,000 or better. One kid whose dad actually invested in his deal, he paid his dad back his $800,000 profit to his dad. So you say, you know, instead of you giving your kid $200,000 to put him in college and they piddle that away and maybe get some additional debt behind that, come out with nothing, maybe you're lucky to get a job. This kid bought an apartment complex with his college fund, and he made like $1 million profit. His dad's share was 80%, and so he got $800,000. Now think about that. That's unbelievable. Instead of burning up all your life savings to put your kid through school. Now, but the kid still ended up going to school because when they bought the apartment complex, while he was operating the apartment complex, he would take night classes. He got the same degree your kid has. You think your kid's smarter because he's got a degree by going to a daytime college. You can go to nighttime college, get the same degree, and yet this guy's got life experience and now owns eight apartment complexes, seven or eight. I don't remember exactly what it was. But he's a multimillionaire at only 35 years of age. I mean, come on, guys. What is it all about? And so the next part of that story that I was sharing with you when we went to break was, but all the other people I knew went into debt. They started getting credit cards and going into debt and then not being able to pay the credit card off and paying payments on the credit card and got deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And eventually, you know, your life is destroyed. You're never going to have anything because you're always living behind the eight ball. So there it is. You just got to paint that picture to your kid, and you got to teach them how to do it. So I put together some ideas here I thought that were pretty important about how to do that. But the one thing I wanted to get across here was that, well, I'm going to leave that one. I was going to say I have a little personal vendetta about naming money. I tell people all the time, take $10, put $2 in your front right pocket and call it your operation account. Take $2, put it in your left account, call that your rainy day fund. Take $2 and put it in your back pocket, and that's, you know, your 401k, and put $2 in the other one and call it your IRA. And now you still have the same $10. Did the amount of money you make by naming it all do anything? No. Did it make it any more profitable by putting in five different places? No, it didn't. Naming money doesn't make money. You have to invest money to make money. And the best way to invest is to have all your money together and do the right thing. And a lot of people believe, and I have to teach my kids this, about diversification. In other words, if you know nothing about what you're doing, you have no idea if you're going to win or lose, the only thing you can do is diversify so you don't lose everything in any one time you make a dumb mistake or somebody rips you off. You diversify. I say instead of diversify, go study and learn and figure out how to make money and what is the best investment. Put your money in the best investment. So just a different theory there that I espoused and taught my kids. And so did all these five parents because they all taught them lifestyles theories at an early age. So the next thing you have to look at is you have to learn about debt. And there's good debt and bad debt. And there's a very long discussion about good debt and bad debt that I have. And I'm not going to bring it to you today because it's very in depth and it takes a lot of thinking. You really have to be wanting to hear it to get into it. But debt is the most important thing you'll ever have. And I make this point to people. Without leverage, you're not going to get rich. You can't work hard enough, save hard enough, and or long enough to get rich before you're too old to even appreciate it. You've got to have leverage to be able to make money. And so when Dave Ramsey tells you to pay off all your debt, he's crazy. Doesn't make sense. I could go hours into it and probably have done whole radio shows about how crazy that is that Dave Ramsey tells people that. Then you have Robert Kiyosaki who comes along and says, you know, that is really stupid. What you really need to realize is there's consumption debt, bad debt, and there's investment debt, which is good debt. And that is closer to accurate. But really the third level is being able to understand where money should be. How much is it costing me to use this money? How much can I make with this money? And where should that money be? Maybe if what I can earn with the money isn't higher than what it costs me to borrow the money, I shouldn't have any debt. And if you're that dumb and don't know how to make money with money, then no debt's a pretty smart thing to do. And so Dave Ramsey, with his low information people that listen to him. They're low information people. They don't know what to do to make money. So the idea of not having debt is saving them whatever the debt costs them at the time. And that's a step in the right direction. So in other words, they're both right to some degree, but they're not teaching their kids the real important point, which is understanding why one is important and the other isn't. Besides that, it's not telling people and making kids understand, well, actually, Kiyosaki talks about leverage. Leverage is, you know, the most important thing. But here's the next point I made to the kids. I would rather have an 800 credit score than $100,000. And they all just about died. And I said, let me tell you why. I can take my 800 credit score and I can go borrow $10 million. And if I can earn 10% return on that $10 million, I'm earning $1 million a year. On the other hand, if I have $100,000 and invest it, I can make 10% on the $100,000, which is $10,000 a year. So my $100,000 can earn me $10,000 a year, but my 800 credit score can earn me $1 million a year. Wow. I would rather have the credit. Credit is way more powerful than money. And besides that, if I need money, all I have to do is ask for it. Number one, first thing I think every parent should do, I did it, it's the greatest thing I ever did for my daughter, open a bank account. I opened a savings account in their name, and each month I'd have her reconcile it. So she'd open it, you know, when the bank statement came, she'd open it up and look at it and go, wow, look, I made, you know, 7 cents, 12 cents, 18 cents, 80 cents, $1, $15. And she saw it grow. She understood the concept of compounding by looking at this. She also understood the concept of an account. The second thing we did was we only paid her into that account. So in other words, if she got allowance, it got stuck in that account. If she went out and earned money, we made her put it in that account. Everything that she had and did, she put in that account so that she now had an accounting of money that went through her fingers. So when we sit down with her each month for the reconciliation of the statement, go, okay, you did pretty good. You earned some extra money over here doing this, you know, set of chores. You earned some extra money over here, babysitting or something, whatever it was. There it is. You can see it, and you can see what it did to the total of your life savings and how important it was to see that. And you see how much it made your interest on your account grow. Very important that they watch these accounts grow, that you don't let them suck the accounts out. They just keep building the account and watching it grow. Because what they see is not only does it grow by how much they put in it, they see that the compound interest becomes larger each and every month. That is a realization that the average kid doesn't have, and I don't even think the average adult has. And I say average, I don't know what the average is, but most people I meet are not that savvy to really understand compounding interest in that manner. But whatever, they need to know it. Start giving them money instead of toys and gifts. So in other words, at Christmas, all these kids right here that are up there, successful, stop getting toys. They don't need 12, like Donald Trump says, you don't need 12 dolls. You need $1. And you need some type of money for your account. This is your Christmas gift bonus. This is your birthday gift bonus, whatever it is. And that goes in your account and you explain to them, we're growing this account so someday you will have enough money to invest so that you will make enough money by the time you're 30 so you can retire. Then if you want to go to college, you can. Then if you want to work the rest of your life doing something you enjoy and love and feels important, give back to society, you can. But we're trying to get you set up so by age 20, you have enough money to invest to retire yourself by age 30. You tell them that. Keep them on that track. Keep them focused on that. And you'll have kids that will never, ever look back. Next thing, I want you at some point to get them a checking account. Now, again, you may have to co-sign for the checking account, but then what you do is and this is real easy now with online accounts. When they want to buy something, okay, Dad, I want to take some of the money out of here. Okay, that's fine. You know, you can go buy something with your money. I want you to take the money out of the savings account, put it in the checking account, and go write a check for it. This is very important for them to understand that money is not in an account because you have checks in a checkbook. Money's in the account because you put it there, and the check is just a vehicle to give that money to somebody else. Once you've got them doing the checkbook for a couple of months and they understand now you write a check and the money disappears, Just because it's a piece of paper doesn't mean it's not disappearing. The money disappears. Now they understand that. The next thing to do is get them a credit card. And you can get prepaid credit cards where they can build credit in their name, right? Or you can just get them a credit card in your name with them as a co-creditor on it or whatever. But the idea is you need to learn how to earn points on credit cards. Whenever you buy things now, instead of writing a check for it, I'm going to have my daughter buy it with the credit card so she gets points. And then she's going to immediately write a check for that credit card, or you know, you can do it at each month. When you sit down to reconcile the bank statements, write the check to the credit card and pay the entire amount off and pay no interest. Do you know how many adults don't know how to do that, can't do that, haven't figured that out, and they use credit cards and get in trouble with them? You got to teach them how to use credit. Credit is something you make money with. So right away we're making money by, instead of writing a check for what we want to buy, we're buying with a credit card that's giving us 1 or 2 points. I mean, this is such, you know, that's really, why bother? Because that's exactly what we do in life. We use other people's money and we go buy investments that make us money and we pay them back their money. You're doing this at that level, at that age, gives them a 10 or 20 year jump on the average person coming out of college. College kids have no idea how to do that, right? So have them pay off the balance of credit card every month. Next thing to do is show your kids your investment plans and explain how you think they work. And talk to them about how they would set up their investment plans. Encourage conversations about money goals, and about investments whenever possible with the family. I know people that won't tell their kids how much they have. I know people won't tell their kids where it's invested at. I know people won't tell their spouses how much money they have or where it's at. I mean, when you grow up in that kind of a family, you have no respect for money at all. You fear money. You have no idea what to do with it when you get it. You've got to open up your accounts. When I first started dating my wife, I took her and her 3 kids to my CPA to do my tax return so they could see how I make money, how much money I had, where I earned all that money, and then I had my CPA give them a little lecture on how Dell became rich. It's amazing. They came away with a completely different realization, especially since they had a different dad who didn't do any of that stuff. So now there was a different point of view, a conflict in their life as to either be broke like my dad or rich like my mother's new husband. Start them reading books. We read, both my wife and my kids, and we read Richest Man in Babylon, Think and Grow Rich, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant. Build their minds at an early age, and then they too can be rich at 20 years of age. Have a great day. And remember, though, it's not just the money. We're teaching them how to live the lifestyle. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Dell's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.